Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, we are loaded up today. In a minute, I'll show you the award that Rich and I got, a journalism award last night for Zionists of America. That is spectacular, creative, like no award I've gotten. Ro wants to put it in the living room. No, this goes in the Dom room, the most important room in the house. The only room that, if under attack, is a safe room and broadcast center. That's where we need to see it. That'll be on YouTube, not the living room. I'll show you that in a moment on YouTube here on Talk Radio 1210. Bob Brady here at 1:30. Well, yes, Bob, who is a big-time labor leader, head of the Democrat committee, we'll ask him about this non-endorsement, but my God, the results yesterday, we actually have a poll here of union members, about 60% with Trump, only 31% with Kamala Harris. And I know you can say, but he didn't get the endorsement. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what world you're living in. This is a huge victory. There's like 1.3 million Teamsters, but more importantly, these union members across Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and the like. It's another very public signal. I would have been happier if they had endorsed him, but the numbers they released and the reason they couldn't endorse Harris are great. It's another indicator. At least the Republican Party under Trump is in the game when it comes to the very voters. I mean, can you imagine Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, people like that? How in the world are they getting these guys in the numbers we're seeing to vote for them? And the answer is they couldn't. But I want to start with something that in the past, even in 2016, as I remember, somewhat in 2020, Trump did not talk as a main course about deporting people. He did not talk about that. The polling and whatever said, whoa, wait a minute, people don't believe you're going to do that. You know, it's not a majority. Well, now he is talking about it, and it's picked up since the debate. And the only thing I would say to button up, and he did button it up last night, I think, with Gutfeld. It was pretty funny on Gutfeld last night. He said, we're going to start by deporting the criminals. Now, we don't want to go into the weeds too much because then the media will just sig on that and attack that. But do the American people at this point, I'll put it this way. Are they open to deporting people that are here illegally? And the answer is yes. Now, that doesn't mean they want to see a massive roundup day one or anything like that. We're talking about self-deporting, too, because it will be almost impossible to be able to work here illegally. So Janet Yellen, this woman has no political sense at all and not much economic sense that I see. The Secretary of the Treasury is at a big event today. First, she said, if we started deporting people that are here illegally, inflation would go up. It would kill you. You think inflation is high now. It would kill you. And then she talked about the fact that the entire economy would be in trouble. Here we hear this excuse again, that if we didn't have people here illegally, this country is over. Listen to Janet Yellen.
There was a study, speaking of which the other day, that calculated that undocumented migrants account for 22% of agricultural workers, 15% of construction workers, 8% of manufacturing workers, and 8% of service workers, including childcare workers. In your view, what would be the impact of removing all or most of them from the economy in a short time through a program of mass deportation?
Well, I believe that immigrants have always made and continue to make a positive contribution to the U.S. economy. Between, I think, 2010.
How about the word legal there somewhere?
You know, we have an aging population withdrawing. It's pushing down labor force participation. Between 2010 and 2018, immigrants made up, I believe, 60% of all additions to the labor force. They obviously contribute to the dynamism of the U.S. economy. And we need, I believe, an orderly immigration system. And there's obviously work to do for Congress to work with the administration to accomplish that. But I think it would be devastating to simply
remove that
remove now, this number of immigrants.
Okay. So yeah, how about that as a setup, guys? Is that the Sorkin guy? It might be. Worse than David Muir with Kamala Harris. Well, you know, they got to make this percentage, that percentage, and all that. You start deporting. Oh, my God, the country's over. Are you in the camp that believes that? The majority of Americans don't. They want this nonsense to end. They feel inundated, and they're right. It's not just the illegal immigration. It's all these policies like the Haitian policy, the Ukrainian policy, the Venezuelan policy. Endless policies. They know exactly what Democrats are doing. So Trump would not have said this in 2016. Yeah, he talked about building the wall. He talked about, but the word deport, we didn't hear any grand plan to do it, nor should he put a grand plan down. When asked about it, he said exactly the right thing last night. We're going to start with the criminals. Who's going to be against that? Democrats. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Now, as I mentioned, this situation where the Teamsters, who are a big labor force, and in addition to that, a name, a brand when it comes to unions, the last time they came close to endorsing or did endorse a Republican, strangely, was Herbert Walker Bush. That's because they knew he was going to win, and they knew Dukakis would not. So they wanted to get with the winning team. That goes way back to 1988. So since then, it hasn't even been close. What is it about Trump that puts him in the game? Oh, it's his background, building traits, things of that nature. It's the fact that he is willing to see in areas of agreement to see what he can do with the union workers. And it's also because the membership is not woke. The average union guy. I mean, I go by a bunch when I'm coming into work in the morning out here in they're around 30th and Market or so. There are tables there. They're getting off from work. It's lunchtime where their shift is done. And I just can't imagine. These are Kamala Harris voters. Now, here in Philadelphia, they're defiant, though. They're endorsing her. A guy named Richard Hooker is the leader of this. He's endorsing. And to this point that I just made, Henry has been on fire. We're going to have on Jim Lee today, I understand, at 2:30. Yeah, 2:30. I'm not sure if he's still the head of the Springfield Township board over there, the political thing. We met him before because of the battle back and forth with the cops. And he was a signatory toward this welcoming refugees material that I told you about, meaning he'd be on board, as I understand it, we'll ask him straight up, with more Haitian refugees and more other of these refugees being brought in to Springfield Township. So the other signatory that we had here locally, one was a pharmacist out in West Hampton, Norton. And he said, Dom's a reputation, Henry, get out of here. Precedes him. That's it. I'm back to the pharmacy. Yep. Okay. But we did get a note from the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors, Miss Kenny, Carol Kenny. Now, we said that she also signed off. She doesn't want to come on, but they did give us a written response, and they're going to give a more formal statement at a later time. And they mention here, Henry, that rumors are circulating about a commitment made by the township to place 5,000 Haitian immigrants in our community. Well, we never said anything like that or close to that. What we did say is, and I don't think she denies it, right? I mean, there's no denial in here.
I mean, I feel like the putting the 5,000 is, right, and is like you're telling on yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say any number or anything of that nature. All I know is I wanted to get her on to find out why she would sign this, that she believes people in Upper Marion, apparently, would want to have resettlement of migrants here. Now, if she came on, I would ask her, what number did she think? She said this misinformation is unfounded. No such request has been made to the township. We're working on identifying the source of this misinformation, and I'll give a more formal statement. Well, the information, since we didn't get a denial, is you signed off on this open letter with 500 bipartisan state and local officials that says that, yes, they think these policies are good. They would welcome them in their community. No number was given. That's just because we were talking about these other places and how many they got. So it seems her position is that she's supportive of the concept, at least. I'd like to know what the number is then. But Jim Lee, I'm very glad when people come on and, you know, we differ, we're going to have a reasonable, we did before with him, we'll find out why he thinks people in Springfield Township would be on board with that. How many communities, after what we've seen here, would be on board with this? And if they are, what's the number? See, that's the problem that happened to these communities. They were inundated. Now, President Trump said last night on Gutfeld he is going to be heading to Springfield, Ohio, and he's going to be heading to Aurora, Colorado. All right, let me give you the side question quickly, because we have Riley Gaines in the on-deck circle. She'll be coming up a lot with Riley. Because of the labor union stuff with the Teamsters, we were talking after the show, Henry and I, about the world of work, about a job. And what we came up with today, you give me any job, you determine the job you want, the position, the profession, call it what you will, and you give me somebody real or fictional that you think is the face of it, means represents that. All right, so mine is going to be preacher. I immediately think of the best orator, preacher, I don't see how it could be topped, Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. at the March on Washington, my God, you know. Well, even more, the night before he was assassinated, the stuff that he did. It's you can't believe a human being can be that good. What's yours, Henry?
So I went the fictional route.
Okay.
I chose a profession off the books, known as an assassin.
All right.
And I chose John Wick.
There you go.
Because he is the boogeyman. You cannot stop him.
All right. All right. That's what we're looking for. The great Riley Gaines next. She's got a docuseries coming up. Wanted to talk with her, too, about Kamala Harris and the transgender remarks. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. That's what you do. Jump on board with Dom here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Riley Gaines has made such an impact, just a tremendous impact. Now she has a new docuseries out around the very same issues that we've been talking about. But of course, this is the one area where VP Harris has not flip-flop. It's a transgender space. I hope she's asked a little bit more specifically about women in sports in addition to that. All right, let's go to Riley Gaines. Riley, congratulations. It's been a while. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm always thrilled to join you, so thank you for having me on.
Tell us about the docuseries. Where do we get it, and what are you doing?
Yes, goodness gracious. It's crazy to, I mean, even you think about the past 2 years of my life, and now I get to add best-selling author to my resume, and now executive producer of the docuseries Transfixed. It is a four-part docuseries, so there are four episodes. You can find it on Fox Nation. You can check that out at foxnation.com. But really what this is, it's, you know, when I was kind of thrust into this realm of understanding the gender ideology movement, understanding the political sphere, of course, I initially saw this as a threat to women's sports, but now I realize it is so much bigger. It is so much broader than that. The victims in this story are the children who have had their bodies mutilated. And so this docuseries, you know, we spend a little time talking about the sports stuff, but we get into children who have transitioned and then detransitioned and really what they describe themselves as medical experiments. We talk to families who have lost their children. One family in particular who hasn't seen their child in years because CPS got involved, took their child. The government took their child. They don't even know if their child is still alive.
Wow. And Riley, to that point, particularly Governor Walz, I'm not sure if you explored in this because it's just recent that he's been put into that slot. His state and what he's doing was doing exactly that. If the parent balks at this, they're in danger of losing the child.
Of course. And I think that's the most terrifying part about all of this and something a lot of people don't realize. I mean, we even heard, goodness gracious, this week, in the past few days, we saw Kamala Harris in an interview. Speaking on a stage, she doesn't really do interviews, if you haven't noticed. We saw her speaking on a stage, yeah. And she said, when I was growing up, children were for the community, and that's how it should be. Children should be for the community. And the quote itself was nonsensical, something very, circular.
Well, hold up on that. We just happen to have that, Jim. This is cut 9 to Riley's point. Here is VP Harris when she grew up about the children of the community.
I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community.
Which, that's the initial reaction, right? To laugh because it is so, that's just what she does. It's almost like she's a high school student trying to reach her word count in an essay she has to write for an English
class. Book report, right, yeah.
Exactly. But really, if you think about what she's saying, if you can get past how absurd the verbiage and the words she uses are, if you can think about what she's saying, and she's telling you openly, confidently to your face, is that your kids don't belong to you, your kids should belong to the government. That should be a really terrifying statement, regardless of any political affiliation, regardless of any identity factor. That should be a terrifying statement for your average, everyday American voter to hear.
Absolutely. So, Riley, we were thinking about you, too, since it's been a while. The PIAA in Pennsylvania just announced, and the Philadelphia Eagles and Steelers were both behind this, that flag football will now be a official female sport in Pennsylvania. And I made mention of the fact it's acknowledging that few, if any, females want to play tackle football and that this is an outlet of football for them. And it led, of course, to the stuff that you're famous for. This is what women's sports are all about. Now it's going to be an official state sport. Over 100 schools already have females in this. The question will be, though, will they put some male in there who'll run amok and just run over top of people or straight arm them so they can't take the flag away?
I think, the creation of flag football, creating women's teams, I think that's a great alternative. And you said it, if we talk a lot about men and women's sports, but the problem exists of women and men's sports. Again, the same issues, safety and fairness. You have a woman on the football field. Any boy, any man who's raised right doesn't want to tackle a woman at full speed. And so I think it's a great alternative for women to be able to compete and be able to play. But again, if you allow men, it undermines everything that the sport, that the league, that it was created to uphold and protect. I imagine those issues will exist given the leaders of your state.
Well, right, and it was thrilling to see this. The Philadelphia Eagles are providing a lot of money and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they pushed this PIAA, which is a really backward organization, to do it pretty quickly, and instantly 100 schools are involved. This is what you and I share in this, because I have sisters that were college athletes, and you're one of all time. This is the avenue that we've always wanted. All the things that come out of women participating, as you did, at the highest levels. Why in the world ruin that? So I hope that VP Harris, the more serious thing your docuseries is about, of course, but I hope she's asked about this stuff with women in sports. Because I know that a lot of people that love competition in sports, they are outraged over this still to this time. Have we seen other women speaking up, though, over the last few months? Are there any examples in this arena?
Definitely. Unfortunately, as these pretty tragic scenarios continue to happen really at an exponential rate, especially with school going back, goodness gracious, with colleges going back after what the Biden-Harris administration has done to Title IX, rewrote it, abolished Title IX, actually, as it was originally implemented. Boys are now allowed to compete on women's collegiate teams. And so I talk to athletes, Dom, every single day. I talk to athletes who, for example, the San Jose State University volleyball team, where they have a male playing, injuring women, giving women concussions. I mean, career-ending injuries. But guess what their record is? It's 6-0. They haven't lost. It's the first time they've gone 6-0, I believe, in school history. You can do your own deductive reasoning.
Sure.
But well, they have a male on their team now.
I happen to be flipping through ESPN the last couple of days, and both nights, in prime time, sort of, they were featuring women's volleyball. And a couple of these women were unbelievable. A couple of the spikes were unbelievable. But I'm picturing a 6'1", 6'2" male doing what these women did with the added power. And people don't realize how injured you could be just from volleyball.
No, take Peyton McNabb, for example.
Right.
She was a high school senior at the time, but and this was almost 2 years ago now. But, I mean, you described the scenario almost exactly, where a boy jumps up, he spikes the ball, it hits her in the face, she's immediately knocked unconscious, where she laid for many minutes before finally coming back around. And even still to this day, Dom, actually over 2 years ago, she's partially paralyzed on her right side. Her vision is impaired, her memory is impaired. She has to have special accommodations for testing at school because she can't retain information like she once could. She was supposed to play softball in college. This injury, it ruined that, and it has permanent effects on her life now.
Well, Riley, it is amazing. You are opening new avenues all the way. We lost a great dentist, or maybe that's down the road. I have Dr. Benz here, but Riley Gaines, if you were in the area, we'd have to check that out. So people should go to Fox Nation right now, and I guess that's that, you know, they can watch it at their leisure, your docuseries around all these issues. What's upcoming for you? Anything in the immediate future in addition to that?
Goodness, I'm taking it day by day. Really just a big push of mine over these next few months is getting back on college campuses, really, really trying to engage the youth, right? Mobilize the youth. It's what, I mean, Charlie Kirk, he was just in your area with Vivek. It's what they do so well. And so to be a part of that movement is really important to me. You know, I see as a young woman, this is not historically a base, a demographic that votes Republican. And so really trying to open the eyes of younger people. I'll be coming to Pennsylvania, all over the nation, really. I think in the next 45 or so days on about 20 different college campuses. So,
oh, well, wait a minute. We got to get you to Philadelphia. I'll tell Dan, we got to get you here in studio. We'll shuttle you over. What do we have to do?
Come on, I'm there. Easy. Easy peasy.
All right. Do you know, you don't know the schedule yet, though, when you'll be here in Pennsylvania, in the Philadelphia area?
I'll find out, and I'll send you over a schedule. I'll text you.
That would be great. Riley, thank you so much. As always, what's the website for all things Riley Gaines?
You can check out RileyGainesCenter.org, and that has a more comprehensive list of the college campuses I'll be at and such. And then, of course, follow along on X. That is Riley_Gaines_.
Thank you, Riley. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dom. Thank you.
All right, Riley Gaines. Oh, my God. I just blessed that Dan established a relationship there. She'll be coming to our area, so we'll work that up and let you know. I got to go and cover it on a college campus. Oh, man. That will
be something.
Well, producers are supposed to provide the no-neck part of it. I hear Greg is working on a no-neck producer just for things like this. He's going to be on the...
He's got something in the lab cooking.
He's going to be on the practice squad of producing. Yes. All right. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hit us on the side question. You heard Henry's. You heard mine. With all this labor talk yesterday, when you think of a particular career, a particular job, real or fictional, all time, who's the person that jumps out at you? Yeah, I know I could have said Jesus, but, you know, we don't do the Bible. That's unfair when it comes to preacher. Yes. You can't top it with that. Don't send me on Twitter. I took Martin Luther King Jr. All right, 855-839-1210. Get in on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. You got the side question. All this talk of work with yesterday, I'm hoping the Teamsters would fully endorse President Trump. That didn't happen, but the non-endorsement is very good. It indicates the real problems that Harris is having with white males, particularly white working class, and other groups that are in labor unions or related construction, that kind of field. And those happen to land in the three big states, the blue wall, Wisconsin, Michigan, and of course, Pennsylvania. But here is the head of the UAW. Now, the UAW has the automobile workers, right? But they have like college professors and fields like that that are also part of their union. So they are much more radicalized. Here's the UAW president. He was on MSNBC immediately when this whole thing came down. This is Cut 7.
You know, this is the first time the Teamsters have not endorsed a presidential candidate since 1996. Do you see this as a blow to Vice President Harris?
Not really. Look, it's not a Trump endorsement. And, you know, look, we've done polling and, you know, working class people, union or not, and especially in our union, and I know the other unions mirror the same numbers, going back to 2008 and forward, I mean, it's literally been an average of 65% vote Democrat, 30 to 32% vote Republican. That's pretty consistent all across the board. And even though, you know, I'm not going to get into their leadership and their decision making, but I mean, it was pretty apparent today when the Michigan Teamsters Joint Council, 245,000 retired and active members, endorsed Kamala Harris. You know, the Joint Council 42 that includes Nevada, 300,000 members, endorsed Kamala Harris and Walz, and you know, local 237 in New York, which is their biggest local, also endorsed Harris Walz team. So, you know, I don't read into that too much. I mean, I believe their union, just like our union and most other unions I know of in this country, are going to vote heavily for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
We'll see about that. Okay, well, thanks, Jim, on that. Faction. That's enough. I wanted to go to former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, who ran for president and was a very reasonable, moderately conservative Republican. I think he hit it very well in the interview that he did here, because he said the rank and file, these guys, they're sick and tired. These guys that work hard and right across the street from us, we're seeing them put up a building, can be injured, can die in these things. And they're told, let's face it, the Democrat Party, they have white privilege. They're tired of this stuff. That's exactly right. They're not voting for Harris. I don't care what the UAW guy says. All right, here's Governor Tim Pawlenty.
And culture, and it's exactly what the Democratic Party needs to focus on.
Governor Pawlenty, when you look at this, and you know, Teamsters Union, I mean, that Biden was winning over Trump, and now it's Harris. Trump is winning over Harris 60 to 34%. I mean, Governor, is this about race and gender? What is this about when you look at a swing that huge?
Well, my dad, as a truck driver, was a Teamster. I've been a former union member myself. And for a lot of years now, you can see the separation between these unions as organizations and the rank and file people who are the members of those unions. And Trump, for all of his other challenges, has been successful in some political jujitsu in attracting labor, the rank and file laborers, to his campaign. And in exchange, the Democrats have picked up a folks who are more highly educated, more woke or whatever. But if you talk to the rank and file people who are driving around in vans and trucks with ladders and doing the work of hard labor in this country, and you talk to them individually, they are very skeptical of a leftward lurch in the country. One of them told me not too long ago, after being working on his hands and knees his whole life with arthritic hands, he said, you know, I was in the military. I've worked my can off my whole life, and I'm not voting Democrat this time as a lifelong Democrat this time because they think I'm privileged just because of the color of my skin. That's one little glimpse into how the Democrats lost rank and file labor.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah, you can disagree all that you want. Just take a look at your platform. Just take a look, lady. Come on here and we'll put you in studio for a half hour. You can disagree all that you want. That's exactly what they've been saying. That's exactly what they think. Now, they dress it up in all sorts of terminology, just like now DEI has gone undercover. It has different initials now, equity and all other kinds of words that might be used. Critical race theory, we don't know about anything like that, but America's a racist country. That's at the core of it. They know it. Now, here's the thing that's going to be hard for Republicans. And I started thinking about this last night. Who is it after Trump that can tap into this? In other words, This has been here forever. But a guy like Mitt Romney, he's not going to tap into it. He's a guy in a top hat. Let's face it. You know, somebody like Mitch McConnell, people like this, they're not going to tap into it. They can't do it. Trump's life story, Trump's style has tapped into that, and it's tapped into, in large measure, African-American males. And they don't like it now. They don't like this even a little bit. But what they're betting is, if they can hold Trump off this time, this all goes away. You know what I mean? How can Republicans find someone? It's not just enunciating these things. It's the style. It's the life story. I don't think Ron DeSantis, and I see Ron DeSantis as the ultimate drill down and go after what needs to be done. He has as buttoned up as anybody I've ever seen. But as we saw during the presidential campaign, it just doesn't get people fired up to move the people we have to move to the Republican side. And I don't like his 6-week ban on abortion thing. I think that's killed his career. So who is it? That's a great unknown. But with Trump now, all these things that are true that these guys had to know in their gut, Biden held it off. And look, how did Biden hold it off? Well, Biden still didn't come across as woke. Maybe in their minds, he came across as a guy, look, he has to make this deal. He really doesn't believe in it. What's he going to do? Which is even worse in some ways. And he was the ultimate union guy, identified, Scranton Joe and all that. So they were able to hold some of this off. Now they don't have Biden. They have someone who is an empty vessel of wokeness. That cup we just played you with Riley Gaines, Jim. Let's play that again. Here's Kamala Harris talking about the children of the community are the children of the community.
I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community.
Oh, my God.
I also understood that growing
Thank
up.
Thank you very much. Yeah, in kindergarten, I think the children of the community are the children of community. That's your word count for today. Go home. You get an A. Was she constantly writing book reports that she knew nothing about? Is that where this tick comes from here? All right, so 855-839-1210, you get on board. This is a big moment. I know some of you don't like, you know, when you hear endorsements, you don't believe. Okay, keep it up. But the fact that this major brand released this poll indicating what the rank and file were about, we always suspected this, we kind of knew it, but we at least have a pretty big poll here to say, wow, look at this. And Tim Pawlenty hit the nail on the head. These people are being tired. They're patriotic Americans, too. They're tired of the deal was this. Look, be a Democrat. We're going to give you more than the Republicans. You're going to have to put up with all of our woke nonsense, but we'll give you more. You know, and by and large, up to a point, and if you put a figure on there like Joe Biden, these guys can say, Biden, he's union. You're not getting away with that with Kamala Harris. I don't think goofball Tim Walz can get away with it. They know what these people are about. They know these people hate the values of the working class Democrats because those values are very similar or almost identical to Republicans, except when it comes to some of the union stuff back and forth. That's the only difference. Like, for example, 130, Bob Brady. I don't think Bob Brady's woke. Look at who Bob Brady pushed across the finish line in the mayor's race. Was he there saying that Helen Gim is a hell of a candidate? No, he was doing anything in the world to stop that. So he's still a Democrat, but you get what I mean. He'll be here at 130. I want to ask him about this. And also, Sherelle Parker, the mayor, as I've been predicting, and the whole establishment. You know what this says? It says to Chinatown and the Chinese, hey, face it. You don't have any power here. We're not going to see you as a minority status. You're white adjacent. You're not getting away with that. And if we mess up Chinatown a bit, so what? Yeah, but aren't you the guys that always say these cultural communities and we have to have all that? No, no, no. We got a lot of money here with these Sixers billionaires. We got a lot of union jobs. We're going to do it. That's what it comes down to. In the end, they're going to do it. You will not see this often. The Philadelphia Inquirer and I agree on something. The studies indicate that you're going to have people trying to get to Jefferson in emergencies, and there'll be gridlock there. You're not going to see SEPTA. Anybody listening right now, you're going to bring your kids, hey, let's go see a Sixers game, Johnny. We're going to take SEPTA, and then we're going to take SEPTA home after 10 o'clock at night from the city of Philadelphia. Oh, yes. We're going to ride our magic carpet. So how did they get it done? Well, you got the black ministers, you have the head of the building trades, and these politicians, they danced around telling Chinatown, oh, we're listening to all this stuff. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. You knew in the end exactly what they were going to do. So how do we have a party that talks about billionaires like Trump and all the rest of it, and they're giving the Sixers this showplace? Bob Brady down at Mulligan's told me they had a deal. They were going to refurbish down where all the stadiums were put to millions of dollars to make them even better. Nah, we don't want that. We want our own thing. We don't care about all the stuff that's going to go on around this. And I think it's still not for 7, 8, or 9 more years on top of it. So who is it that got the benefit of this? And it's the billionaires, ultimately. That's why they're billionaires. That's why they're doing it. The guy that flew Meek Mill in his helicopter when he got out of jail, that guy, and some others. All right, 855-839-1210. That's why I like the Phillies. I think the Phillies are an unbelievable organization. I told you about John Middleton. This Josh Harris guy, he owns the hockey team. It's just an investment.
Well, let's get some straight. Josh Harris is only the Sixers.
Doesn't he own a hockey team?
Dan Hilfert owns the Flyers, and I like what he's done since he's taken control of the team.
No, the Devils.
Oh, he owns the Devils. Yeah. No, he owns the Devils and the Commanders.
Yeah. My point is that it's an investment. This guy has no sense that these are a public property, you know, that there's emotion and everything else tied into it.
Yeah. Oh,
he 100%. Doesn't have any sense of that.
No, but Dan Hilfert, he does, which I appreciate. He's the one who wants to bring everything to South Philly, build that whole complex.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. I think Bob Brady does, too. When he'll be on at 1:30, I think he'll point that out, at least at Mulligan's. I don't know. Maybe it was Johnny's Brew. I'm not sure. 855-839-1210. You can get in right now. Coming up, I'll show you my award from last night. Everybody's been admiring at it. They go, I've never seen an award like this. How do you get to YouTube? Dan does that for me all the time. You go to youtube.com/1210WPHT.
Yes.
Yes.
So you've heard it enough to know.
Yeah, it's in there. 1210WPHT. Wake up to it. Go to YouTube. I'll show you. Rich and I both got it last night. We were both, this is an unusual thing, for the ZOA, Zionist of America, we were both MCs. I was part one, then handed it off to the award ceremony, and then Rich handed him off to himself to be the MC after he got the award. You should have seen the sheets of paper we had. Rich will now be the MC. Dom will sit down with his award. But the award is spectacular looking. Not really a journalist, but that doesn't, you know, in the broadest sense of it.
Who's a journalist anymore?
I guess we could be journalists.
Yeah.
I think Dawn is the most journalistic probably here on the station. You know, Rich and I, Nick, I don't see that. We both begged indulgence for mispronunciation of Jewish names. One, I had the guy that brought me there, Steve Feldman, who'll be on tomorrow. And he goes, well, I don't know, because that's a different sex. So you just figure out what you're going to do with the guy. So he's the deputy consul general of the United States for Israel. And I said his name. Thank you.
Pulled a Biden.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't make it out what I said. Rose said, what did you say? And I said, nothing. That way I was safe. All right. It's 855-839-1210. Grab a line right now. Hey, let me tell you about Dr. Benz. And with Dr. Benz, I've told you over the years, we're into now fall weather, sadly, is almost upon us. So we're putting aside all the goodies of summer. And that means it's a perfect time, though, for a fresh start with a great dentist. Maybe appointments you've been putting. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Why not get a look-see with my dentist for years, my friend, and the staff. With Dr. Benz, you will see the Benz difference. if you're a little bit fearful, you have a little bit of problem with the dentist. I've told you stories. I saw recently this woman who barely spoke English, broken English in Norristown there, with a couple people with her who were kind of translating how gentle Dr. Pence was to get her the dental care that she needed. And it was a lot to make it not overwhelming. He's a master at that. And like all great dentists, when he works on your mouth, you could tell the difference. I mean, it is so efficient and precise, little or no pain or anything like that. And when it comes to your teeth, the final product, that 3D printer is worth whatever it cost him. So it's a great time to get done now. If you need some complex work, other dentists constantly send patients to Dr. Pence. He's the guy. He likes that challenge. Make the appointment. Get the look-see. That's what you should be doing now. 610-272-6949. Dr. Robert Pence, my dentist. 610-272-6949. All right, so on YouTube now, check it out. I'm holding up my award. This is the Heck Award for Journalism. Notice the beautiful typewriter, even though I don't type. Notice the chauffeur. And inscribed to me and Rich got the same thing. So thank you, Zionist of America, Steve Feldman. Very, very creative award. You'll be seeing it in the backdrop of the Dom Dome when I broadcast from there. It's an all-timer, Henry. It's beautifully done.
It's very neat. And I love how it's engraved. I mean, it's unique, too. I mean, I don't want to rip on any other awards I've gotten, but they're very bland. They're very trophy-esque. That's something I want to show people. Like, it's a conversation piece.
Hey, it is a conversation piece.
What's that?
I would agree with you. Absolutely. Now, a big, gaudy Super Bowl-like ring might be good, too.
That's also,
yeah, exactly.
That would be nice.
But thank you, Zionists of America. It is a conversation piece. It's beautifully done. It was a great night. A lot of people there that are our listeners over the year. A shout-out. A guy came up to me. He was there with Judith Krupnik, who got a big award last night at Cherry Hill Volvo. And he talked about the fact that Roland Green is a student, Henry, I had, we guesstimated, 40 years ago. And he works with the guy. And when he heard that he was going to be there tonight, I was going to be there, he started talking about English class 40 years ago. It was really
incredible.
It really was heartwarming. Yeah, it was exactly what any teacher would want to hear. So it was a tremendous night all the way around. And one of the people that gave a keynote was a student at Penn that talked about just how outrageous it's been. People counting down to October 7th, of course. And I'm thinking at that point, it's going to be very interesting to see how Kamala Harris remembers October 7th. Is she going to give us one of those? Well, she said the solution is a two-state solution. All that would do is give the very same people who did what they did coming out of Gaza bigger territory to do it. And I'm not saying it's every citizen of Gaza. It's substantial numbers. The others live in fear of Hamas. So what are we supposed to do? Israel deserves an award. I know it's hard to say that. The left can't say that for what they've done. The brilliance of wiring both the walkie-talkies and the pagers. You shouldn't have had them. Now, of course, these people are around other people. They may be blown up, too. I don't think the charge, though, as I understand it, extends much beyond a short range of the person with it. And it's got to be awful if you're crippled by this. But you know what? Don't be a terrorist. Don't be trying to kill every Jew in the world. Maybe you won't get blown up by your pager. Does that make sense? That's exactly the way that I see it. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk with Tim Murtaugh. He is the point person for the Trump campaign, particularly here in Pennsylvania. And I want to ask him about what I think is one of the most vulnerable areas for Kamala Harris, who, by the way, I will give her one skill. Yesterday, she exhibited a pretty decent, what she thinks is an Hispanic accent in the middle of laughing and saying something. The woman can turn on a dime with accents. We've seen everyone in the world, particularly she likes the Southern accent. when speaking in front of Democrat groups. All right, so Tim Murtaugh next, but Bob Brady, big-time union power, head of the Democrats in Philadelphia, will be here at 1:30. We'll ask him about Chinatown. And I know he's, you know, upset. He was a Joe Biden guy. What does he make of the Teamsters, the vote, first of all, and then withholding any endorsement whatsoever? I have to say, only Trump out of the Republican Party can do that. J.D. Vance is not getting them to non-endorse. Vivek Ramaswamy is not. Chris Christie. There's only one guy that has that type of skill or lifestyle that's appealing and bringing these people to the Republican Party. Now we got to cash them in and keep them here. All right, let me tell you about Batteries Plus Bulbs. My buddy Roy over in South Jersey, two big stores, Mount Laurel and Norris, and Mount Laurel and Northfield on Tilton Road. Now, Roy has been with us for quite a while. You know about anything that you need in any way, shape, or form related to technology, Batteries Plus Bulbs, they have you covered. But more importantly, the motto is they power it, they light it, and they fix it. That's what he says every time to me. Make sure people know your listeners, Don. We will fix it. Meaning phones, anything with technology, if you're in business, energy audits, helping you cut costs. It's all there. I'll give you the phone number in a moment. But in addition to that, business has gotten so good because we have a lot of people that have been going to Roy. They need some help. A handy do-it-yourselfer would be ideal. It's a great low-pressure part-time job. Customer service is the key. If you're willing to do what it takes to help, you need to call Roy. So for all things Roy, for whatever your needs are, or if you're interested in joining him, 856-638-0778. 856-638-0778.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.